Thank you for being with us today. I got my buddy who's an elder, Don Lynn's going to be reading some scriptures for me. I so appreciate that. He's one of the elders. Also church planters, him and Deborah, was church planters in San Pedro Sula, Honduras. And I loved them there, and I love them here. Before we dive into the Word, I want to let you know something that's going to be happening here at this campus on May 2nd, starting May 2nd on Thursdays. We're going to have prayer at 7 a.m. here on Thursdays, and then we're going to have a pastor on the premises here on Thursdays from 9 to 4. You got that? Yeah. We're just trying, you know, if you're new, this is a brand new campus. We're about 6 months in, and on Thursdays, we hope to have prayer there at 7, and then somebody here on campus to serve your needs, to pray with you, to talk, whatever it may be, pastoring, shepherding. And then in the evening, we're going to have a men's small group that meets here. So anyway, thank you. Thank you for that. Today, I want to talk to you about the art of hearing God. And the reason why I'm preaching that is because you asked for it. How many of you remember Easter? If you're new, every Easter we get an update on all phones, emails, and everything. Then we put down below, is there a sermon you would like to hear? And you wanted to hear about hearing the voice of God. And so today, I'm going to be talking about the art of hearing God. Last week, you heard on forgiveness here at this campus in Coeur d'Alene. It was on relationships. The largest was relationships. Like 129 people says, hey, we need to hear about relationships. And this has a lot to do with relationships today, hearing the voice of God. How many golfers do we have today? You don't have to be good at it. You just, if you play golf, raise your hand. I play. I'm terrible at it. And I'm not being humble. I'm just terrible at it. But I like playing it. It's so stinking challenging. Well, when it comes to hearing the voice of God, let me talk to you about a golfer for a minute. The course had one particular hard hole involving clearing water to reach the green on the peninsula. Since he always lost balls in the water, he always used an older ball for this shot. One day, a lot of people use old balls all the time because, you know... One day, as he was about to hit the ball, he heard a voice from above say, use a new ball. He was thrilled. He was certain this meant he was about to make this shot at last with divine help. As he was about to hit the new ball, the voice said, take a practice swing. So he took a practice swing. Approach the ball again. He's getting ready to hit the ball. The voice says, take another practice swing. Now he's getting ready to hit that ball, that new ball. And the voice said again, hey, matter of fact, use the old ball. Dude had a jacked up swing, man. Probably my swing. I believe hearing God, it is an art. It is a skill. It's something that we can learn, and it's real important that we do learn hearing from God. I like to picture it as kind of like tuning into a radio station. You know, either you got your radio off and you're not going to tune in at all, you have no ears to hear, you turn it on and it's not on a station and AM, and then you tune in, and all of a sudden you're hearing that 100,000 watt WWWDM, the soul of South Carolina. I mean, it's strong. And so it's something that you can learn. My wife is part, or has been part, of the movement called Idaho Listens. And probably about 3 months ago, we went to the first function at the Hagedorn Events Center, and she was one of the speakers, probably had about 8 or 9 speakers. And they each had a certain amount of time to speak. And this is not a Christian deal. And I like that, because Radine gets in all kind of areas to share the gospel. It's pretty powerful. And she shared her testimony, a great part of it, that night. But the whole thing is that you have to listen big time. They have all the speakers. They give you the rules. You can't say anything. You can't even, you know, like amen or anything, which is very hard for me. Very hard. No, very hard. And so you listen to all these speakers. You listen. And it's a discipline. All these folks have talking about all kinds of things. Things that you agree with. Things that you absolutely disagree with. But you listen. And that's what it's all based on. She actually went to another function this week at NIC. Idaho Listens. I really was challenged by it. And it really impacted my life to listen closely to people. Well, God wants us to listen to Him. He wants you and I to hear His voice. It's a learning. It's a discerning. Sometimes it's a resting. Sometimes it's a wrestling. It's a waiting game. It's a testing. But God wants you and I to hear His voice. I want to go into a passage. One of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament was a guy named Samuel. Samuel was a prophet to Israel. He was a prophet to Saul. If you're a good king, you need to have prophets. He was a prophet to David. And there was a time where he learned the voice of God. He didn't always hear the voice of God. So I want to let you know right now, if you don't discern the voice of God, if you've never heard the voice of God, I got news for you. You can learn and discern and realize what the voice of God is. And Samuel had to do that. He had to actually learn the voice of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 18. Now, I'm going to step out of the boat right now because we're actually going to, listen, read 18 verses in church. Turn the ADDHD, ADD, all that, turn it off right now, right? Everyone say, focus with me. It's all right. 18 verses. You there? 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 18. I figured you have your Bible or you have it memorized.
Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was laying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see.
Let me say something about his eyes grew dim, but I'm going to tell you right now, the priest's ears had grown deaf. And you're going to see it because he had heard, but he was not obeying the voice of God. Everyone say obey. That's a huge piece of hearing the voice. I'll dive into it in a few minutes, but obeying is a very important piece of hearing God's voice.
And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call."
Notice that Samuel did not know the voice of God. If you're like here today and you like, I really don't know the voice of God. Hey, that's okay. Samuel learned, you can learn, we're all learning together the voice of God.
"I did not call, lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me."
Right there, he was convinced that Eli was calling. You did call me. So there's a place of the voice of God sounding like a man, because obviously he thinks that, come on, Eli, you did call me.
Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.
This is like a prophetic word now, a very prophetic word to Israel and to Eli that would come to pass. Just listen to it.
In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house, from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him."
Thank you. Good parenting advice right there also. That's not what we're talking about today, but good parenting advice. Yeah. Eli's kids were out of control. They were punks, knuckleheads, to the place that they lived out vile, and they actually brought judgment upon that country because the priest knew what to do, but he would not discipline them. And so I'm not saying go beat your kids. I'm just saying that there's a place where we are to be parents, and what's parents do? Parents parent. Not just your buddy all the time, right? My kids are still my kids today. I'm friends with them, but I am their stinking parent. Are you feeling me?
Yes, sir.
We're called to be parents. We're called to be fathers, to man up, to be mothers, mother up. And we're called to, right?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Y'all mother up? Amen. Come on.
I'm mother up.
Mother up. Mother up, buttercup. Grandmother up too. We're grandparents, four grandsons. You better believe it. Yeah. We just want to give them desserts all the time. We can learn the voice of God. I think that the voice of God sounds differently in the New Testament, the Old Testament. You're like, Jay, what do you mean by that? I really do, because I mean, there's no more judgment. There is judgment, but hear what I'm saying. For the believer, God's not angry at us. He's our Father, right? Yeah. Jesus took on the anger. Jesus took on our sin. Jesus took on the condemnation. Jesus took on these different things. And I believe the voice of God sounds differently, though he doesn't change the way that he approaches us and we approach him. I think it does sound a little different, okay? And so listen to what John 10:27 says.
My sheep hear my voice.
How many of you are sheep of Jesus? Okay. Well, if you're not, you're going to have an opportunity to be in this fold today. But my sheep hear my voice.
And I know them, and they follow me.
That word voice is very unique in the Greek. It's where we get the word phone. It's phone. Phone. It's spelled exactly the way. P-H-O, with dot across it, omega, N-E, line across it. Phone, but it's where we get the word phone. So imagine God wants us talking to him. We know his voice. We know his calls, his noise. That's what that word means. The sound. Come on, somebody say the sound. There's a sound above all the sounds that's out there, above social media, young people or older people, above all the noise, all the news, all the politics, everything that's going on. There is a sound above all the sound. It's important for us to know God. The problem with our nation, I promise you, is not politics. It's not the identity crisis. The problem with our nation is that we have forgotten God. At the end, the root, we've forgotten God. When you know God and you're walking with God, we don't have all the craziness. And if you don't know about the craziness that's going on in our world today, you just don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. I've never lived in such a, boy, I'm on a soapbox right now. Didn't even preach that this first way. I've never even lived in such a crazy time.
Yeah.
But we need to know God. And we need to know his voice. We need to know the phoné of God. If you're a true son or daughter of God, I believe that you want to hear him. And I'm not a specialist on it. I'm still understanding the voice of God. I'm still learning the voice of God. I do know the more that I'm into his word, the more that I clearly hear his voice and I know his voice. I still have to walk by faith. I still, if God's going to use me prophetically, words of knowledge or wisdom, I still have to step out of the boat. There's still risk involved. There's still faith involved. But I want to let you know that the more that I walk with God and know his word, walk with the Holy Spirit, fear him, all those things, the more that I know his voice. God's word and his voice are connected together. Very connected. If you want to know his voice, you must know his word. I know prophets and prophetesses, and I want to let you know right now, the ones that are real, they are in the word of God. They know God's word because they're connected with one another, that sound above all the sounds, which goes into my first one. The full proof of knowing God's voice that you can always, the unadulterated voice of God, the full proof and the full proof is the word of God. Amen. I think you'll see it. The Logos is the full proof and the full proof. If you don't want to be a fool, look like a fool, act like a, sound like a fool, you need to be in the word of God so that you actually know his voice. The Logos is you can know the truth. You can know the absolute truth of God. Don't listen to nobody out there that says there's no absolute truth. There's absolute truth. Come on, there's a perfect will of God. There's the perfect voice of God. The more I know his word, the more I recognize his voice. If you don't know his word, you're going to really struggle in knowing his voice. You're going to really struggle in knowing his voice. I think people should be in the word of God every day. Not once. What if I ate once a week? I'd be all just jacked up nutritionally. Okay? Eat like crazy on Sunday. Because I know I'm not going to eat any kale. No, I eat every day. I eat the word of God every day. Manna every day. Every morning. Every day. You come over to my house in the morning, you're going to find Radine in her little location, me in my little location, because we're seeking God together. And we're in God's word. We're in prayer because we got to know God. I can't do anything alone. I can't do jack without the Holy Spirit. That's all there is to it. So we need to know God's word. And as you know God's word, he breathes upon it. You're reading it and pop. There's that logos that turns into rhema. The rhema just jumps off the word, jumps off the pages. You're like, wow, God is speaking to me this morning right here off of his word. He's breathing. He's quickening to me the word of God. I was contemplating something this week. Even whenever I kind of wrote this sermon, I was contemplating something about something in my own life. And this is not for you. It's just something that God spoke to me. All of a sudden, I'm not asking God to really speak to me, but all of a sudden his word came to me and he said simply this. He says, J.O., you can't outgive me. My shovel is bigger than yours. Come on. He simply said that. I was like, he just spoke that to me. His shovel is bigger than mine. I might have a little shovel, but he might have a big old backhoe. I don't know. But all I know is that I only tell you that today is because on Wednesday, I felt like God spoke that to me, that his shovel is big. He wants to speak to us. He wants to share with us. Sometimes, number two, it's not all about knowing God's voice between good and evil. With me, I want to tell you right now, sometimes it's not good and evil, or God and evil, it's God and good. It's what is good and what's God. You may say, well, J.O., if it's good, it's got to be God. No, it does not. There's a lot of good. Hallelujah. I'm glad. I'm glad that it's good. I'm glad you're not mowing people down with a gun saying God told you that. That's crazy. That's not God. That is evil. But there is good versus God at times, and we need to be able to discern. Say that with me, discern. Discern. It's important that we discern the voice of God. What is good? What is the voice of God? I'm not talking about things like this. Listen to this right here. And I'm very careful with this because I'm not here to beat anyone up if you've been divorced. That's not, I'm going to make a point. Are you following me? Yes. But it's a good point because people will come to us and go, well, God just told me to divorce my husband. Mm-hmm. You don't like him today and you're divorcing him? I'm not talking about biblical reasons. Right. I'm talking about we're not on the same page anymore, so I'm going to divorce him. Or I don't like her anymore. I'm out of love, like Bon Jovi, in and out of love, right? Yeah. Not biblical, but just God told me to divorce. And I'd say, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. I don't care how spiritual you may look, cute you may look, religious you may look, how you package it. If you don't have a biblical reason for divorce, God didn't tell you to divorce. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, what did I hear, J.O.? What did I hear? You heard your voice. Yeah. You heard your soul. You heard your pain, and you heard what you want to hear. Joe, that sounds awful mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, you need, if you're going to discern the voice of God, you got to be able to separate your soul, your voice, your hurt, your pain, and all that to the voice of God. Once again, don't throw rocks at me. I didn't say if you, there's grace here for divorce. There's a place. I understand. I'm not talking about a biblical reason. I'm talking about she's bugging me today. I'm out. Well, let me tell you, my wife bugs me sometime. I bet you I bug her a lot worse than she bugs me. We've been married this July, will be 34 years. Been in ministry the day since we got married, right? Well, some of you have been married 50 years, so that's awesome. Here's my point, is you don't divorce because they bug you. You don't divorce because you fell out of love, because you can fall back in love. Love is a choice. It's a decision. Are you feeling me? So I didn't want you to feel like, Joe, there's, you know, you're being so mean towards divorce. I'm not, that's not my point. My point is when you say God said, and it's not biblical, I call bull. Because God didn't say that. So there's good and there's God. Sometimes it's evil and just wrong, but sometimes it's not just about good and evil. Sometimes it's about, is it God or good? I deal with the good stuff all the time. I'm kind of built that way. I've dealt with, throughout my life, intrusive thoughts, panic, anxiety, so forth. I'm going to get into intrusive thoughts in just a few minutes if I have time. But like, for example, I was getting ready to preach at this really big youth camp, right? And I'm getting ready to preach. They're in the midst of worship. And all of a sudden, I hear I should pay for a camper's registration. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Isn't that good? It's a good thing. Maybe it's $200-$300, whatever it is. Camps have went up a lot. We were youth pastors back in the day when we started. It was like $79. Now it's like $379. It's like, what do you do? Anyway, that's free. But I'm getting ready to preach, man, and I hear pay for a camper. And so with my personality, that can get very compulsive with me. Like, okay, what am I? I'm supposed to pray for a camper, and I'm trying to get ready to preach, and I'm getting all these signals and all these different kind of waves in my mind. Some of you, can you figure that? Can you feel that? Sometimes I talk about these things, and people look at me like I'm crazy, and I might be a little bit. So I'm not going to say that I got it all figured out, but my point is that I'm getting kind of compulsive now. And this thing is getting a little bit intrusive, and there's a little bit of a hook of fear to it, so I'm starting to wonder about it, and I go, but I need to test this. How can I test this? How can I find out if this good, if it's good, if it's God? I mean, it's not like the voice is telling me to kill campers. I can discern that.
Yeah.
That's evil. That's wrong. I'm not going to do that. But it's telling me to pay for a camper, but it doesn't feel completely right. And I'm like, I need to test this. And I go, okay, I can test this. I says, I'm going to find out who the church administrator is, and I'm going to say, is there any need for any campers that is unpaid? And if there is, then I'm going to buy a camper. Right? And so I think it was right after I preached or right before I ran into the camp counselor or the camp administrator, and I says, ma'am, is there anybody here that was not able to pay for their registration? She goes, nope, everyone's paid for, everyone's done. I went, that wasn't the voice of God. It was good. Wasn't wrong. It wasn't sinful. But it wasn't God. It's good for us to be able to test. It's not always that easy to test. But sometimes it is. When you're able to test, I think that you should test it. As soon as I tested it, as soon as she said, no, everyone's paid for, I walked. I didn't doubt it again. I go, I tested that spirit, and it wasn't of God.
Right. Yeah.
Look what the Bible says about that.
1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Test the pneuma, the spirit. Is it the voice? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it the breath of God? Is it human? Is it demonic? Is it angelic? What is the voice? What is that I'm hearing? Can I test this? You better test before you put your finger in that electrical plug right there, or you become the test. And we're to test. Why should we test? Well, one reason is just because of what I just said, because you can hear all kinds of, if you're, like, for example, if I'm getting ready to go, Radian and I travel doing prophetic meetings, we're in Singapore, we get very sensitive when we're getting ready to minister, right? Because we're trying to hear from the Lord and try to be sensitive to people around us, and God, we want to be used by you, we want to be a voice for you. God, here we are, donkeys, and we can get very sensitive. Well, when you get very sensitive, you get very sensitive to everything.
Right. Yep.
Spiritual manifestations are really close. Good and bad. Really, J.O.? I'll show you in a minute. Listen to the scripture right here.
2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light.
Wow. Satan himself transforms, metamorphosis, into an angel of light. I think that we should test the spirit. That test means to prove, to try, to examine, to do exactly. In that moment, I was able to use a camp administrator to test what I was hearing. Let me show you the closeness of spiritual manifestations in the scripture with the disciples. Listen to this.
Matthew 14, 26 and 27. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost.
Wait a minute. Who's walking on the sea?
Jesus.
What do they say? It's a ghost. Well, is it Jesus or is it a ghost? It's Jesus. They think it's a ghost. Well, can you not see the closeness of spiritual manifestations?
Right.
Every disciple in the boat thought it was a ghost. And look what Jesus says to them.
And they cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid.
Test. Discern. Radine is a huge tester for me. She kind of hears clearly and helps me determine what's good and what's God a lot of times. A whole lot. We use this term, but it's very, very real in my life. She's Holy Spirit number two.
Come on.
And it's biblical. Not that it says your wife is Holy Spirit number two, but it's biblical that someone walking with you, fearing God, who steps in the steps of the Holy Spirit to get multitude of counsel, it's a very real thing. I go to her a whole lot on things, not evil, not, oh, should I do this? This is evil. No. With me, it's good or God.
Right. Yeah.
Am I hearing God? Is this just a good thing, or is this God? Because good things can keep you going. Rabbit trails, anxiety, just keep you rolling, keep you busy all day long. But I don't want to be that way. I want to know what is God, and she helps me with that, a whole discerning good, discerning what is God, what is Bible. Look at what's going on with Jesus here, because this even happened with Jesus. Listen to this scripture here, Matthew.
Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Stop there. Just put that in your pipe for a minute and puff on it. Put that in your religious pipe and smoke on that for a minute. Listen, Jesus was led by who?
The Spirit.
Into where?
The wilderness.
To be what?
Tempted
by who?
The devil.
Really? It really happened. It's the Bible. Now, that doesn't always fit with my theology. But I need to let me fit in that, not me try to work it for me. I need to believe what the Word of God says. So I believe that fully. But everything isn't just like always peachy when it comes to our walk with Christ. But listen to what takes place next. Listen to what takes place.
Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple.
Pinnacle of the temple. Devil has no problem coming to your church. He'll come right up to set right on top of you. He has no problem walking in here. And I just heard this morning on our Slack that there was someone demon-possessed over at our other campus that just had to get deal with. The devil has no problem coming in here.
And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over
Bible.
You, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.
The devil is using something good. He's using something very good. The Bible. The Word of God. So there's a difference. You don't want to always go after the good. You want to go after God. Look what Jesus does.
And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.
Discerning what is good is very vital. Discerning the Spirit. Discernment is a gift from God. You know that. If you look at the gifts, it's one of the 21 gifts. But I think that God, in this day and time, each of us need to know what is the voice of God. We need to be discerning of the Spirit. What is God? What is not? The woman, I call her a witch, on the way, Paul and Silas is on the way to prayer. Come on, somebody. Yeah. On the way to prayer, our prayer, this witch comes up behind them. These are men of the Most High God. She spoke exactly the truth with a nagging witch voice. Paul got so irritated, he cast that demon out of her. And then he was put in prison for that. The next one is this one. This is the one that gets kind of different, because I understand that everyone doesn't deal with what I'm about to deal with. But I go, you know what? I wish someone would have shared with me one time in my life when I dealt with it. Intrusive thoughts. I think it's a really good definition for what happens, because it's thoughts that come in, kind of hit you sideways. It has a lot of emotion connected to it. They can make you very fearful, make you very compulsive, make you doubt, make you wonder, is that God? It comes so strong in, you go, that's got to be God. A lot of times they're satanic. Sometimes they're flaming, fiery darts all in the same boat. But I want to tell you one. Can I be very real with you? Can I be? Okay, because sometimes I am, and then people are like, man, this brother this morning was telling me, he's like, J.O., you are very real. He says, I've been around a lot of real pastors, but you're like really, really real. And he liked it. He says, that's why I come. I said, praise God. But he did tell me that. And so when I was a young man, I dealt with intrusive thoughts. A lot of you know my background. Parents killed, sister killed, six people killed in my family in car wrecks. And, you know, I just almost lost my mind. And I would hear intrusive thoughts, and they would really, 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 I didn't know what they were called. I was scared to talk to anybody about it. I thought for sure they're going to think I'm losing my mind, right? I don't want to tell nobody what's going on in my mind. But my worst intrusive thought that constantly tormented me was kill yourself. Just like so strong, and it got louder and louder, and I didn't want to kill myself. But I got so compulsive with it. The voice got so loud. I was a hunter, and I didn't want to carry a gun because I thought, man, if I might kill myself. It was lies, and it was intrusive. It tormented me, and I suffered for years. I want to help you today if you have intrusive thoughts, a beautiful scripture that you can weigh things off of. Because if you don't deal with intrusive thoughts, guess what they do? They intrude. If you don't stop the intrusion, guess what they do? They intrude more. If you give any place to intrusive thoughts, like guess what they're going to do? They're going to intrude more and more. The devil just wants to take land in your mind and in your heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the enemy, he knows if he can get this, he's got you. This is the battlefield. He doesn't have your salvation. You'll make it to heaven, but you can sure be an absolute tormented soul on earth until you get to heaven. What we want to do is equip you to know that you can be free so you don't have to suffer all of your life. Intrusive thoughts. Listen to this scripture.
James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Like I said in the beginning, I really do believe this. You don't have to believe it with me, but I do, that God's voice sounds different in the New Testament. If you prophesy like an old school Jeremiah, I would say you need to chill, man, because that's not where we are right now. Prophecy in the New Testament is to build up, to cheer up, even to rebuke and so forth and so on, but it's not like in the Old Testament. Brings life. Do you ever get rebuked in it? Absolutely. Rebuke is a good thing. But mostly it's to build us up, because how many of you know that people that I run into, they typically need to be built up, not beat down. So if you look at this, I want you to see this scripture right here, because you can test what you're hearing. First, is it pure? Is it pure? Is it peaceful? Like the camper, buying the registration for the camper, it was a little bit hard to discern because it was good. Is it gentle? Intrusive thoughts are not typically gentle. They're like, you're going down the road, you're doing your thing, you're blow drying your hair, not me, but you are, and all of a sudden you're just like, choom! You're like, where in the H-E-double-L did that come from? Because it came from hell. Yes. Is it yielding? Is it compulsive? Just, no, this is what you, on, torment. Just, wait a minute. It may be saying the right thing, but it comes in the wrong spirit. Is it merciful? Is it yielding? Is it fruitful? That's a good scripture. That one scripture can really help you in the area of intrusive thoughts. Don't obey intrusive thoughts anymore. They only intrude more. I'll tell you a story, kind of embarrassing, but it's the greatest decision I ever made. One of them, and how it played out. I asked Radine to marry me. I was an old bodybuilder and met her at a bodybuilding competition. Found out she worked out in the gym. I managed. Everything was around the gym. That's all I knew. She was dating a Miami Dolphin football player when I met her, and I didn't care. And so I found out she worked out in the gym that I managed, and we became best friends, like best friends. Invited her to a small group, the power of a small group, invited her to a small group. She's like, I'm Catholic. I go, that doesn't matter. I didn't even know what Catholic meant. I really didn't. I was like, that doesn't matter. Come to my small group. She came into my small group. Revival was happening in the small group. Every Wednesday evening, young adults getting saved like everywhere. She comes the first nights and get radically saved, and then later water baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so I fall in. I was already in love with her. But she knew I had a crush on her, but she had a boyfriend. I took him out, preached the gospel to him over lunch. And, no, I did. Did I say something wrong? Sometimes people laugh and I'm like, what did I just say? Did I say anything wrong? Okay, good. Thank you. I shared the gospel with him, great guy's named Mike, and he didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And anyway, to make a long story even longer, Radine broke up with him. Well, you know what that means. It's on like Donkey Kong. We start dating, and pretty quickly I asked her to marry me in the parking lot of the gym. Well, she said yes, and then I'm telling you, all hell broke loose inside of me. All these things that I struggled with before Christ started surfacing. And I started feeling anxious and panic attack feeling, very somewhat delusional. And it really scared me very, very much. So I totally ghosted her. I know all the women goes, it always happens this way. He's a jerk. Always happens. That's okay, but it just is what it is. They had an engagement party for us. I didn't go to it. Every woman went. She finds me at a work site, and she walks up, and I said, I didn't know what to say, because all I knew is that the only thing that had changed in my life is that I had asked her to marry me, and now I'm going through it tremendously. She walks up to the job site. I says, hey, I was trying to be nice. Keep the ring. Date other brothers. She didn't like that. I left California, flew to Kentucky, was there for 2, 3, 4 weeks, whatever it was. I was ghosting. I was bailing because, man, I'm dealing with some stuff in my closet that I didn't know was there any longer, that God was allowing to surface. I didn't know he was allowing it to surface. You don't know what you don't know. I don't know he's allowing it to surface to completely heal me. I don't know that. But he's surfacing it, and I'm losing it. And I come back to California, and I go, I need to hear God. My emotions is so loud. These intrusive thoughts, anxiety is so high, I can't hear God. So I asked every elder in the church, I says, hey, would you guys please come to JB's restaurant? All the leaders, all the elders of the church, and they came, a lot of them came. There was probably 15 dudes there. JB's restaurant, early in the morning, they sit around the table, and I says, hey, you guys, I need to hear God. This is what's going on. And you know what? They were so kind and patient. They went around the entire table and they shared. And that day I heard God. And I went back to Radine and I says, hey, would you like to go on a date? She said, nope. She did. She says, we're either getting married or nothing because you've taken all the romance out of it. And she was right. So we did start dating again. And we did get married. But intrusive thoughts almost stole my life. And I'm okay that if you think I'm weird or half crazy, because I know what God's able to do with anxiety, panic, panic attacks, depression, intrusive thoughts. He's able to completely heal you because he's healed me. And this is the greatest thing of, we have amazing elders. Don's one of them. Don Lynn, Craig Brown, Seth Owens, Dave Carlson, Clark Menzi, Bobby Carmen. And you know, a lot of times we come together and we discuss and we hear everyone, and then we hear the voice of God over and over. And so there is safety in the multitude of counsel for you. Amen. Today there may be here someone here as we close that you're like, voice of God, I don't even know God. That's fine. I used to be that way big time. I didn't have a clue who God was. I didn't go to church. I got radically saved December the 7th, 1986. Got invited to go to church like you're here. And so you may be here today and you're like, I don't know God's voice because I don't know God. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ.